We were at the care home one time singing for Miss Wiesner, and we just popped in at lunch one Saturday. We just wanted to be a blessing. I can't remember if we had bad weather or something. Wasn't very many of us out on that Saturday, and we just had such a time, Brother Leonard and Pastor Mark, myself, Pastor Donald and Drake, and we just went through songs and we butchered a few of them. Amen. And we said, okay, well, we don't know that one. But we just had such a good time singing, something about singing for the Lord. You know, when I was a child, my father had really developed a love for photography. And he was very, very accomplished. My father was, I wish you could have met him, really. Just, you'll get to meet him someday, amen, on the other side. But he was somebody who despised pretense and despised politics. And I don't mean politically, but I mean he thought that merit should be the great divider. If you were good at something, then that should be all. It didn't matter if you had money or you were had influence or anything like that. And my dad was actually a very, very accomplished photographer in the Amateur Photographer Society. And I can't remember. I think, Mom, how it worked was you had to, they would send in slides to be judged by the American Photographic Society. And you sent in 100. And if they got a certain percentage, you got like a score of 95 or above, they would authorize that slide, and you would get a star for the first 100 slides. Well, then you had to send in 200 to get 2 stars, and 300 to get 3 stars, and it couldn't be any of the same. My father, when he had passed away, was a 3-star exhibitor of his photographs. And so he consequently, this was back in the days before digital photography, where you had lenses and filters and all the different things. And I remember it just seemed like he had this limitless collection. He loved to photograph nature and get out there and just floral shots and horizons. And actually taught me a lot. He didn't realize he was teaching me spiritual lessons. At the time, he was lost. And I was looking. I'd say, Dad, look at that sunset. He said, it's beautiful. And we would look on that west horizon there, Miss Kim. I was thinking of Westfield and where the airport is. And you look at those mountains on the horizon there. And I said, look at how beautiful that sky is, Dad. You know, the colors, it's all orange and purple. And he said, well, son, it is beautiful. He said, but you know what the key to a good sunset is? And I said, no, sir. And he said, clouds. Now you think about that in a spiritual application. You know what the key to the sunset's going to be? The clouds. The clouds that God put in our lives. And think about how God lights up those clouds with all those colors. Amen. For us. But I remember he had all these lenses. He had a telephoto lens, and he had a wide angle lens, and he had a panoramic lens, and he would use one of these lenses, and he would put me behind the camera sometime, and he would be focused on just maybe one little flower there that he was taking a picture of. And there's, again, so many lessons there. You know, when you'll take a lens and you'll look at one particular thing, like right now I'm looking at Brother Bill Horsch, and because I'm looking at Brother Bill Horsch, Mrs. Kelly's blurry and Miss Judy's blurry. And my focus right here is on Brother Bill. And think about that. Many Christians, if we're not careful, we can look through some different lenses maybe that we shouldn't be looking through. I think of the lens of selfishness. You know, when you're looking through the lens of selfishness, you got your focus on the wrong person, and that's self. Huh? Amen? And by the way, selfishness is the sin of our day. It's the sin of our day that what I want in my happiness. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, even in people coming into churches that come in and say, do you have this program? And do you have this? And what can the church do for me? That's the wrong attitude. Amen. It's the wrong attitude. Well, sometimes we look through that lens of selfishness. Sometimes we look through the lens of pride. And those two are Siamese twins, aren't they? But pride maybe looks at somebody that's less fortunate or somebody that's made their own bed. And you know what pride says? Well, I'd never end up that way. Man that think he stand, take heed, lest he fall. And what does Galatians tells us? It tells us to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So there's that lens that we look through, selfishness or pride, envy. That's a lens we look through. Boy, I wish I had what they had. I wish I had this thing or that thing. That's just envy. You know, a common lens, and I hate to say this in independent Baptist churches, but I've been in independent Baptist churches for 20 years. A common lens that we look through is criticism. Well, I wouldn't have done it that way. Well, you didn't do it. Huh? I don't know why we had to do that. Well, you know, the work needed to be done, and we got it done. Amen. Criticism, it can become a cancer. You can become a critic, just criticizing everything. And it's that lens. You know, I think of another lens that I've seen through the years, and it's a terrible lens to look through. And it's the lens of bitterness. Bitterness. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know what? Can I go to an oft misquoted passage? You got your Bibles. Go to Matthew chapter 7 for a moment. Matthew chapter 7. The title of our message is Looking Through the Lens of Love. This is probably one of, I think in our day, the most misquoted passage of Scripture or text taken out of context. I saw a great picture that someone sent to me, and they had this first verse in there, "Judge not that you be not judged," and it was a picture of a Bible page, and they had that first verse, and then all the rest was crossed out with a black magic marker. Just judge not. Well, what is this passage about? By the way, it's all about proper judgment. It says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. What measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye," little sliver, "but considereth not the beam," big old log sticking out of your own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, "Let me pull out the mote of thine own eye, and behold the beam that is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite"? And here's the key to the whole passage. "First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly." To cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye, to make proper judgments, to decide what's holy, and to decide what are pearls and what are swine, and going down further, what are false prophets and what are wolves in sheep's clothing. You have to make all those judgments. But you know, in this case about our brother, really talking about this, we could probably put it this way. We could ask God to work on us and pray for others. Wouldn't that be good if we did that? Say, "God, work on me." Sometimes we want to say, "You know, you need to." And that's when we got that big log sticking out of our own eyes. Amen. But when we say, "Work on us, and I can pray for somebody else," amen. And then the next passage is all about prayer, by the way, in that text. "Ask and it shall be given unto you." See, so work on us, pray for others. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35 says, "A new commandment write I unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another." There's nothing more damaging to the cause of Christ. Listen to me. A liquor store is not more damaging to the cause of Christ. A pornography shop is not more damaging to the cause of Christ than a church where there is no love. I want to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. We are commanded to love one another. We're commanded. Say, "I don't feel like it." Please, I'm not being unkind, but in this case, I don't care if you feel like it. God said we are supposed to love one another. But you don't know what they said. And you don't know what else they said in love of you. Ladies and gentlemen, this message is about love. Love for one another. You know, this morning I thought about the message and I thought about how when a church is working and a church is trying to get something done for God, you know, wherever there's work, there are two things, pressure and friction. And I've said many times, people say, oh, Pastor, I just don't like pressure. And I said, do you enjoy showering? Because it's based on water pressure. I went to the Philippines. Folks, I'm going back. You pray for me. They don't like water pressure there. I remember they had a little, had the shower, and they had that little hand or the head shower head that you grab, and I'm telling you, it was like this. And I'm sitting there, and when you're as large as I am, it takes a long time to. And what was the problem? No pressure. Pressure's not always bad. Sometimes, Pastor Mark, we in the ministry, we have deadlines and pressure, and we need to get things done. And they help us to get things done. But the other thing that happens in a church that's working is there's friction. Because you're laboring. And you're becoming weary in the work. And like the story this morning, they had the sword in one hand and the trowel in the other. And sometimes you're in close fellowship with somebody and you're working with them and they can get on your nerves. That's when you need to go back to this passage that says, we're to love one another. We're to look through the lens of love. And I want to tell you, if I can, if you look back at 1 John chapter 4, just, you know, I've got this in my notes. We need to stop inspecting everybody else like we're the head of God's FDA and start looking at people through the lens of love. Just don't look for all their flaws. You've got enough to keep you busy. Amen? I've got enough flaws to keep me busy. I don't need people to say, hey, Pastor, I need to talk to you about this flaw of yours. I already know about it. Trust me. I know about it. I say often, I know whom I shave. Amen. In 1 John 4, the words love, loveth, loved are used 27 times in this passage. We learn that love is of God, chapter 4, verse 7. We learn that God is love, chapter 4, verse 8. We learn that God's love defined and demonstrated is in chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, there where it says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. Why? Because that He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God. Did you ever hear somebody say, you know, I was searching for God? No, you weren't. He was searching for you. Amen. He says, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. However, we learn a lot about God and about love, but the bookends of this text, verse 7 and verse 21, look at them with me. Beloved, let us what? Love one another. You with me? 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Verse 21. And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. What will happen when we look at people, particularly the people of God, those church members, the people that are part of this church? What will happen in our own lives when we look at them through the lens of love? I want you to take a jaunt with me through the scriptures here today. First of all, go back to 1 Corinthians 13. Hey, somebody's got a call. Who is it? Amen? Tell them I'm busy. Amen? I love that. But one time I heard of a preacher just answered it in the middle of his message. He's down there preaching. Somebody's phoning up, said, hello? No, she's listening to the sermon right now. She'll call you back. Amen? That'd be a dilly, amen. 1 Corinthians 13, number one, when you look through the lens of love, You think the best of your brother and sister. You think the best. 1 Corinthians verse 13, or chapter 13, verses 4 and 5, it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and here it is, church, thinketh no evil. Charity thinketh no evil. Again, when you're looking through the lens of love at that brother or sister, you know what? You'll think the best. You'll think the best. And I think about that. I think about my dad focusing in on that flower. And you know what? You know what will help us there? Focus in on the good points of other people. And when you do that, you know what you do? You blur some of the things that bother you about that person. And the thing about being bothered about other people is you also bother other people. Amen? Here, listen, take this message and stream it into this statement. Where love is thick, faults are thin. And where love is thin, faults are thick. So when I see a church that's fussing, and praise God, we don't have it here. I'm so glad we don't have it. When I see a church that's fussing, I know why. The love's thin. The love is thin. The biblical decision to love one another. Love is not an ooey-gooey feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a decision. And this right here, when we're looking through that lens of love, we'll put that filter on, that love filter. We think the best about our brothers and sisters. Secondly, you're in 1 Corinthians 13. Go with me. Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, all over the Bible here. Four quick points. And we'll have the Lord's table. When you look through the lens of love, you think the best about your brother and sister. Psalm 119, verse 165. That great long chapter of the Bible. If you're going to do your Bible reading three chapters a day, you'll be plugging along. And I don't know, maybe you get to about July or August. And when you have to read Psalm 118, 119 and 120, you better set aside a little more time. Amen. Psalm 119, 165 says this. What a verse. If you're looking for a life verse, I would highly encourage you to make this in the running. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. See, when you look through the lens of love at your brother, you think the best. When you look through the lens of love at your brother or sister, you refuse to be offended. And it goes back to that first. They say something that gets on your nerves, or they say something that bothers you, or they do something that bothers you. If you're thinking the best of them, it's hard to be offended, isn't it? You see, the person that's looking through the lens of love is not offended. Why? Because they love God. They love God's Word. And they love God's people. And therefore, nothing shall offend them. Boy, it's a great verse. It's a great... When friction comes, when pressure comes, remember that verse. Hey, maybe my brother or sister just needs an encouragement card. Maybe they just need to know that they're loved and prayed for. Love, looking through the lens of love, we think the best. We refuse to be offended. You're in Psalms. Go to Proverbs 10. Go to Proverbs 10. Looking through the lens of love at our brothers, we think the best. We refuse to be offended. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Great verse. Hatred stirreth up strifes. But love covereth all sins. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. So when we look through the lens of love, we think the best. We refuse to be offended. I'll tell you what else we do when we look through the lens of love. We let go of the past. We let go of the past. Sometimes we like hanging on to the past. We shouldn't, but we do. What does it say in the first part of that verse? Hatred stirreth up strife. When I see strife, the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 13:10. But love covereth all. You know what love says? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? When you truly look through the lens of love, you forsake the right to be bitter. You forsake the right to unforgiveness. You say, you know what? It's not that important. And it's not. It's really not. Well, what's the key? You got to look through that lens of love. If you don't, you can stir up strife. Trouble. Amen. I think about the story of Jacob and Esau, and I just read that recently, and how they just came to that point where it didn't matter. Think about David. David, after Saul had hunted him and hunted him and hunted him and hunted him, he died. And old David said, is there any left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? They said, yes, there is a young man named Mephibosheth who's lame on his feet. And you know what happened? David took him in. He could have had him killed. I mean, after all, Saul tried to have him killed enough times. But you know what he did? He let go of the past. He said, you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When you're looking through the lens of love, he thinks the best, refuses to be offended. Let's go of the past. And then lastly, this afternoon, Matthew chapter 9, please. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Verse number 36. Looking through the lens of love at our brothers and sisters, we'll think the best of them. We'll refuse to be offended. We'll let go of the past. You know what we'll do? Verse 36 of chapter 9, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what? You know what compassion is? It's love in action. Compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. When we look through the lens of love, that lens, if focus in, we'll think the best. We'll refuse to be offended. We'll let go of the past. And you know what? Lastly, we'll see the needs of others. We'll see the needs of others. That is the mind of Christ. Found in Philippians chapter 2, one of the great portions of Scripture. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Yeah. What's the cross? It's the ultimate example of looking through the lens of love. His love for us. You know, when we're looking through the lens of love and we think the best about our brother and sister and we refuse to be offended and we let go of the past, then we'll see that they have some needs in their life that maybe God wants to use us to help meet. Maybe be a blessing too. Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing? Thank God. There's a verse in Proverbs, I can never remember the reference, but it talks about how even the fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. You know, there have been times where I wanted to spout off at a brother or sister, and I thought I was right, and I didn't, and I held back, and I decided instead to be a blessing, and they said just the opposite of what I was thinking. And I thought, even a fool when he holds his peace is counted wise. And I've been a fool many times, amen, and just had enough sense to hold my peace. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? You know what we need to do? We need to look through the lens of love. People all in our, you know there are people in our congregation that love here, love being here. There are people in our congregation that are lonely. Even right here. Even downstairs that are lonely. There are people right here in our congregation that are going through emotional torment in their lives. There are people, there are men in our congregation that are wondering how they're going to work the bills to make sure everything's paid. You know what we need to do? Get that lens out. Hey, criticism, you know what? Let's throw that lens in the trash where it belongs. Selfishness, let's get rid of that. We don't need that lens anymore. We don't need that filter. Amen. Bitterness, all those. And let's get out that lens of love. Let's get out that lens of love. Focus in. Maybe you ought to get somebody on your heart within this congregation. This is a message for the church. Hey, by the way, look through the lens of love at the lost. People all over that. Boy, that guy at work, he just keeps cussing and cussing and cussing and cussing. It's because he's lost. That's what lost people do. And God entrusted you with the gospel, standing right next to him every day to try to maybe get him to quit cussing. You know, if you get saved, you'll quit cussing. I'm a perfect example of that. I was thinking about that last night on New Year's Eve, what I had been doing New Year's Eve previous, I think 20, 24, 25, 26 years ago. I remember playing with my band. Now three of us are in the ministry. Why? Because of the goodness of God. Because somebody shared Christ with us. Hey, listen, that brother or sister that rubs you the wrong way, it's a command. Beloved, let us love one another. Looking through the lens of love. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your blessings. Lord, help us, help us, help us, help us. Lord, as the pressure comes, as the friction comes, help us to look through the lens of love.